Indonesian authorities this week arrested a man they say is a key member of the Jamaah Islamiyah terrorist group. U.S. officials say the group's goal is to create an Islamic State in Southeast Asia, encompassing Indonesia, Malaysia, parts of southern Thailand, the Philippines, and Singapore. Singapore is a city-state of 4 million people at the tip of the Malay Peninsula, comprised mostly of ethnic Chinese with a small Muslim minority. NPR's Michael Sullivan continues Morning Edition series on terrorism in Southeast Asia with a report from Singapore.
Long before last October's bombings in Bali that killed nearly 200 people, Jamaah Islamiyah had larger and far more ambitious plans to bring the city-state of Singapore to its knees. Singapore's Changi Airport is one of the region's busiest, handling hundreds of flights a day. Jamaah Islamiyah planned to hijack one of those flights and crash the plane into a terminal. The group also planned to use truck bombs for simultaneous attacks on the U.S., British, Australian, and Israeli embassies in Singapore. In addition, Jamaah Islamiyah wanted to attack U.S. military personnel at a train station on their way to work. That plan was documented on this surveillance video found in the rubble of an al-Qaeda house in Afghanistan in late 2001.
And this is one of the buses, one of the regular buses that ferry the military personnel from Sembawang to Yishun MRT station.
The Jamaah Islamiyah member who made it can be heard on the tape describing the place near the station where he thinks a bomb could be placed to cause maximum loss of life.
Now being zoomed in is the bicycle bay where the train commuters park the bicycles early in the morning before they board the train. And there are also some motorcycles being parked there.
Plans were also made to blow up the fresh water pipeline that runs from Malaysia to Singapore, then blame it on the Malaysian government in an attempt to create friction between the two nations. Singaporean police eventually discovered the Jamaah Islamiyah plot and have detained nearly 40 alleged JI members. What's frightening, says Andrew Tan of Singapore's Institute of Defense and Strategic Studies, is how close JI came to carrying out its plan.
The attacks were in a very advanced stage, and in fact they had already procured 4 tons of ammonium nitrate, and these were stored in Malaysia for in preparation of the attack, and they were going to procure another 17 tons. So the objective seemed to be to cause massive panic and to maximize the number of casualties, and one of the major targets was American naval personnel.
And panic is probably what would have happened had the attacks been successful. Citizens in this authoritarian state long ago accepted a de facto contract with their government, affluence and security at the expense of civil liberties. In this tightly regulated society, freedom of expression is limited, people always use their seatbelts, and chewing gum is only available by prescription. Which is why news of a possible terrorist attack last year came as a shock here, according to many shoppers at this upscale mall, like this young man who calls himself Maverick.
Yes, when we heard that actually Singapore was actually one of the targets as well. And it caught me by surprise, definitely. Because normally, I mean, we don't believe that it will happen that close to home. And this is, I think, the mentality of all Singaporeans as well.
In addition, few Singaporeans believed their own citizens could be involved in such groups. Most of the men detained by Singaporean authorities had jobs and families. Some were professionals, others blue-collar, but none was poor, and none worshipped at mosques where militant Islam was being preached.
Every society, they are vulnerable to the ideological penetration by groups like Al-Qaeda and Jamaah Islamiyah. Singapore is not an exception.
Rohan Gunaratna is author of Inside Al-Qaeda, Global Network of Terror.
We are fighting with a new brand of terrorists. Al-Qaeda, Jamaah Islamiyah, and other Islamist groups are not recruiting from only the poor and the unemployed people. They are recruiting from a cross-section of people. And what we are seeing is that it is ideology that is attracting these Muslims to Al-Qaeda and their associate groups. It is not poverty or lack of education.
The method for recruiting is simple, Gunaratna says. identify people with certain grievances and aspirations, approach them, and then tell them it's important to make sacrifices for their faith. In the case of Singapore, authorities say the Jamaah Islamiyah Operations Chief Hambali dispatched several people to Singapore from Malaysia in the mid-1990s to begin building a local cell. By late 2001, according to officials, nearly a dozen of those recruits had traveled to Afghanistan for training in Al-Qaeda camps. The Singaporean members of the JI cell in the city functioned essentially as subcontractors for the attacks planned here. According to government officials, Al-Qaeda was to send in foreigners, suicide bombers in some cases, to actually carry out the attacks. In choosing Singapore, says Zachary Abuza, author of a new book on Southeast Asian terror, Al-Qaeda and Jamaah Islamiyah chose well.
Nothing would have such a devastating impact on the region as an attack in Singapore. Every major American or Western corporation in the region has their headquarters in Singapore. Singapore is the financial center for the region. The Singapore economy is so inextricably tied to the Malaysian and Indonesian economies that any downturn there has very serious effects in Kuala Lumpur and Jakarta.
Singaporean officials share that sentiment, though they insist, and Western security officials agree, that they have done a good job in identifying and neutralizing the terrorist threat.
And with each passing arrest, we have systematically eroded away at their resource base and reduced their capacity to mount terror attacks.
Tan Guang Cheng is Secretary of Singapore's Ministry of Home Affairs. He says the 40 arrests so far are a good start, but is under no illusions that the threat posed by terror groups has been eliminated.
There are currently no specific threats against Singapore. We cannot allow ourselves to be complacent. And as the terrorist threat from regional elements of the JI and from Al-Qaeda remain.
Authorities are now worried about a new threat, not from land, but from the sea. Singapore's port is the largest and busiest in the region. Forklifts here work nearly non-stop, loading and unloading containers of consumer goods from around the world. Security experts last month told a conference here that Jamaah Islamiyah has been training to conduct seaborne guerrilla attacks like those practiced by the Tamil Tiger rebels in Sri Lanka, and like the attack on a French tanker off Yemen late last year. The waters off Singapore are among the busiest shipping lanes in the world, and any such attack could be devastating psychologically and economically for Singapore and its neighbors. Few doubt that Jamaah Islamiyah will strike in the region again. The only question now is where. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Singapore.
Tomorrow the series concludes in Thailand. Officials there have been eager to promote its image as a tourist paradise, but fears of terrorist attacks have forced authorities to increase security. Previous reports in this series are at npr.org.